Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart. So, man, we're so glad you're here tonight. My favorite thing about Christmas, we heard from some of you guys. We heard bingo. We heard cookies. We heard Jesus. We heard, you know, all kinds of things. My favorite thing is the lights. Always has been. My family will tell you I love to go look at lights. I have a lighting background. Most of you guys don't know. I spent 15 years in training and application of lighting. I used to talk to builders and architects and those guys about how to do lighting in spaces like this. I'm a lighting guy. I love lights. I don't have a lot of talent, but I love lighting. And so when we start seeing the shops light up along about the time school starts, or we start seeing businesses put their lights on next in cities, and then we start seeing people in their homes. In my neighborhood, they were putting lights on houses as before Halloween, I know. It was amazing to see, and they waited to light them up until at least Thanksgiving, thankfully, but I love the lights. Well, light is a major theme in the Bible. And so as we come to the Christmas story, we see that the Christmas story is full of light. For instance, like we just talked about, in the Old Testament, it foretold that Jesus would be a light to the nations. And when the angels came to announce the birth of Jesus, it said that the night sky just lit up with this brilliant glory of God in the heavens. It just exploded with light. And then we see the story of the Magi, the wise men who come along later, who are following this star, and they arrive from the light of the star. And so as I think about Christmas, I think our timing for the celebration of Jesus, because nobody knows exactly what the exact date was, but our timing of celebrating it is very critical and kind of cool, because just this last week, about three or four days ago, we observed the longest night and the shortest day of the year as we went through the winter solstice. The celebration of Christmas always coincides with the darkest days of the year. And so as we move to Christmas tonight, that's physically what we've been through. My family will tell you I complain like a mule about the time we start setting the clocks back and losing daylight and all of that stuff, because I love, again, the daylight and the night. But here's the deal. We all go through Decembers in our lives. For many years, the scripture taught us this. God knows this. Some of you guys are in a December, a darkness in your life. Right now, the writer of Ecclesiastes a couple of thousand years ago wrote this: even though people may live for years, they should enjoy every one of them. We need to remember that there will also be many dark days. Christmas comes kind of as a reminder of hope about the light of God in our world. And it highlights the number one problem of people, and that is this. It's not politics, it's not governments. The number one problem of people is that we're dark. We just don't get it. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, you know, here's the crisis. God streamed light into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they weren't really interested in pleasing God. And we're not doing a whole lot to improve it as the years go by. Isaiah 8 says, people will wander through their land troubled and hungry. When they become hungry, they'll become angry and look up and curse their king and their God. And ultimately, he says, and because that's our attitude, we ultimately will find ourselves forced into darkness. And in the midst of a life like that, in a world like that, Christmas is the response of God to our dark world. You remember the prophecy of Isaiah, where he said, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light, foretelling the coming of Jesus. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. And so Christmas really is an introduction of hope. It introduces the antidote to the dark days of this life, and that is the light of God. And I hope that as we do this, adults, just hear me for just a minute. It was so cool to see your kids up here just kind of interrelating with joy as she read. Wouldn't that be great if we as adults could have that kind of interrelationship with Jesus Christ our Savior. Did you know that God is the character and source of all life? The scripture says that in Him is light and there is no darkness at all. And if you think about it, the very first thing that God did when He started creating, have you thought about that? He said, let there be what? Light. That was the very first thing He did. He didn't create the sun. He created light. And so as He begins creation, God is the God of light. And so that first Christmas, God comes to remind us and give us the light of His salvation, the light of His Messiah. Listen, this is a weird Christmas scripture, but listen to what John wrote in John chapter 1. Let me just read it over you. Before anything existed, there was a Christ, and He was with God. He has always been alive, and He Himself is God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that He didn't make. Eternal life is in Him, and this life gives light to all mankind. His life is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So in just a couple of minutes here tonight, let me just give you four things about light for you guys to carry home and carry with you throughout the days ahead. Can we do that? Four things. Number one is this, very simply, light illuminates, right? The cool thing about light is it illuminates. Last year, my family and I, my daughter loves to climb mountains. And so when we go on vacation in the summer or fall, we climb, in Colorado, we climb 14ers. You know what a 14er is? A 14,000-foot peak. And we were climbing a very picturesque, very photographed mountain in Colorado called Mount Sneffels. Anybody ever been to Mount Sneffels? Few of you guys have. We had somebody in our church got married there the day after we did this. So we climbed Sneffels, and my daughter tells me, listen, we've got to leave like at the crack of dawn. And she said, actually, we need to leave. We need to be up by about 3 o'clock, and we need to leave as soon as we can. So we get to the base of Sneffels at about 4:30, 5 o'clock, and it is pitch black. If you've ever been in the mountains at night in the darkness when the moon's gone down, it is just dark. And we start climbing this mountain. We have headlamps. My wife didn't have a headlamp. She had a really nice flashlight, but that was it. And it was amazing how dark it was, except around the light. And we climbed literally into morning that day. We climbed up in the east, and it was foggy, and the sun came up. It was absolutely spectacular because we started early. And light just, well, it illuminates. To make your journey easier, to make your journey safer, to give you clarity and definition for what you need to see. Jesus said this about us. He said, listen, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness, for living light will flood your path. Let me ask you tonight, is living light flooding your path? In these dark days, we need Jesus when we can't see forward. When we can't see because we're confused, when we can't see because we're undecided, when we don't know what is best, when we can't figure out what to do next, when all is dark and we can't see which way to go, we need the light of Jesus in our life. And here's the deal. Our world tells us things like this. Oh, trust yourself. Trust your gut. Trust your instinct. Follow your heart. But God says this, your light, man, it's weak. You need a better light than that. And over, God tells us, for instance, in Isaiah 50, He says, for anyone out there who doesn't know where you're going, anyone groping in the dark, here's what? Trust in God. How do you trust in God? How do you get God's light in your life? The easiest way I know of is to read the scripture. Just get in it. Let me challenge you to do that this year. In the year coming up, just invest yourself more and more in the scripture. Find you a scripture reading plan. Read the New Testament. Or read the whole Bible if you're really energetic and convicted about that. Because here's the deal. A lot of times you find God's will in God's Word. Most of the time people are looking for visions in the sky and they need to look for a verse in the text of the Scripture. And so find the direction of God in the instruction manual that He's already given us. So light illuminates. The second thing that light does is light disinfects. We've known for generations the value of hanging like our sheets and our bedding outside on a clothesline. Anybody have a clothesline at your house when you're growing up? We did. My mom would put, those are the best sheets in the world, man, when she pulls them off the clothesline that way. We know there's value in that. My hair care professional, Sarah Ramsey, sitting over here, she has this UV light. I caught her talking to Allie over here, and they're both laughing now. They weren't paying attention at all. They never do. Anyway, but she has this UV light in her office that sterilizes her instruments, her scissors and combs and that kind of stuff. And a lot of time when she's trying to find my two or three hairs that I have left, she'll drop a comb or something. She'll have to grab it and put it under that light to disinfect it. We know that light has properties that allow it to disinfect things. It purifies things. Well, God's light in our life does that same kind of thing. It can purify us. It can sanitize how we go about our lives with bad thoughts or bad attitudes or bad actions or bad motives or whatever. God's light can do that. And so a lot of us need God's light in our life today to help us make a clean start, because we're tortured by a lot of things. We're tortured by past sins or past secrets or past failures, or old relationships. And the light of Jesus in this winter, the light of Jesus in this December, as we celebrate Christmas, is a reminder that we're not talking about that you need to turn over a new leaf. We're talking about that you need a new life in Christ. And he can do that. Ephesians chapter 5 says, in the past, you were full of darkness, but now you're full of light in the Lord. So live like children who belong to the light. Light brings every kind of goodness, right living, and truth. So light disinfects or purifies. And the third thing that light does is it heals. It heals. When we were in Germany several years ago, some of our college students and students were with us in Germany a couple of years ago. And in the summer when we were there, they had these forever long days. They're like from 3 in the morning until like 11 at night. They're forever long days. But in the winter, that flips. And the people get so depressed in Northern Europe that they'll buy these sun lamps and they'll sit in front of these sun lamps. They'll work under these sun lamps to try to get all the therapeutic effects of light, all the vitamin Ds and all those things that they need. Well, that just like that light is therapeutic. And we know about infrareds and UVs and all kinds of things that light is used to do. If you've been to the dermatologist lately, they use light in treating a lot of that because it kills some of the bacteria associated with skin diseases and infection and that kind of stuff. But it's not just the physical aspects of light. God's light affects us mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Listen to what 1 John 1 says, that if we claim to have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Listen, you need Jesus in your life. You need the light of Christ in your life when you're wounded, when you have emotional pain, when you go through disappointment or spiritual frustrations. You need the light of Christ. And here's the deal. A lot of times people who are living in a dark place, they feel like they're trapped. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Some of you guys tonight are going, okay, that's me. I feel like I'm trapped by my past. I'm trapped by my future. I'm trapped here. Let me give you a verse. Colossians chapter 1 says, the Father who enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to God's holy people who live in light, he has rescued us from the one who rules the kingdom of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. And he purchased our freedom with his blood and has forgiven all of our sins. That's a verse for some of you guys who feel like you're trapped tonight. The blood of Jesus buys your freedom. A fourth thing that light does, light grows things. We have a process for that, don't we? What'd you learn in biology 101? It's called what? Photosynthesis. It's where living things convert light into energy and food to survive. That's what photosynthesis does. I was at one of our members' shops. I was in his business a couple of weeks ago, and he had he was moving all his wife's plants into there. He built a greenhouse inside his warehouse, and he was putting these lights up, and he had these lights. They look like corkscrews. They're fluorescent lights that look like corkscrews. They're about 4 feet long. And I looked at him and said, I know what those are. I used to sell those. They're called a Duralite Vitalite. The best lighting spectrum ever made. They don't even make them anymore, but man, they last forever. He goes, yeah, these still work. They're like 40 years old. We know that light helps grow things.
And so people put their plants under these lights, and well, they grow things. Here's the deal in the Bible, light and life, just the same way, go hand in hand. When I'm in the darkness, I need Jesus' light to change me for the better. It's the key, first of all, to unlocking your life. Let me give you a verse in Ephesians 1. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you may grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future that he has promised to those he has called. It's the key not only to unlocking your life, it's the key to loving your life. Psalm 36 says, you are the giver of life. Your light lets us enjoy life. So let me ask you four questions as we wind up tonight. The first question is this. Right now, where do you feel like you're in the dark? What is confusing to you? Where do you need clarity and definition? And just a reminder, Jesus' light illuminates. Second question. Right now, what secret regret or shame in your life needs to be cleansed and purified? And just a reminder, Jesus' light disinfects. A third question. Right now, what needs healing in your life? What needs to be exposed to the light of Jesus? And just a reminder, Jesus' light heals stuff. And the last question is this. Right now, what in your life is withered and needs to grow? And are you ready to exchange your darkness for God's light? Just a reminder that Jesus' light will change you for the better. So that first Christmas, Jesus gave us light. God sent his light into the world. It said in John 1:4 that we read earlier, eternal life is in him. And this life gives light to all mankind. His life is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Listen, if you don't know him for certain, I pray that you would find his light tonight and in this season. If you're a believer, let me remind you of what God said, that the God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to illuminate, or shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And to all of us this Christmas, let me just end with this. 1 John 2 has a great word. He said, it's always new and works for you just as it did for Jesus Christ. And as we obey this commandment to love one another, the darkness in our lives disappears and a new light of life in Christ shines in.
Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org. And we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.